Good morning, you guys. It's your girl, Ashley Tamar, a.k.a. Tamar, and you're listening to Tamar Talks Radio. It is Tuesday, November 28th, 2017, and it is officially the countdown. Might I say? Cannot believe it is almost going into 2018. What a year. I know for a lot of us, maybe most of us, I know for me, it's been an up and down thing, but guess what? God is so good, and he still sits on his throne. Miracles are still happening. Healing is still happening, and so I'm so excited for you, as well as excited for some upcoming events we have coming up this weekend. December 2nd, I'll be performing at the SWAC Conference Championship at NRG Stadium, singing God Bless America. I'm so excited to do this because I have been wanting to perform at the SWAC Championships since they've been in Houston, and I'm finally able to do it, so that is exciting. And of course, I have some other few announcements. I am giving away a pair of tickets to see a Broadway touring show that I am in called A Night with Janis Joplin. We start back up in January of 2018. Really exciting show, I might say. 3 standing ovations, sometimes 4 standing ovations. The young ladies who play Janis Joplin are amazing. I play Nina Simone, Aretha Franklin. I sing Summertime and I play a Joplin air. It is such a fun show, you guys. If you've never been to a Broadway show, this is your chance. We're going to Florida, we're going to Boston, we're going to Texas. I mean, you name it, we're probably coming near you or maybe in your city. So don't forget, go to any of my social media handles, find the post, tag a friend, figure out what city you want to go to, let me know what that city is, and I will announce a lucky winner December 31st, and you get to meet me. And I do have some more surprises when you do meet me that day. So don't forget, don't think that you cannot win. You never know. I'm excited to meet more Tam Fam. So here we go. All right, here's another announcement from my friend Mr. Henry Kakula with 4.0 GPA.
On December 2nd, the Institute for Careers and Leadership Development will be hosting a free teen summit on health, bullying, finance, and leadership. The event will be hosted at the Houston Community College Southwest location, address 5601 West Loop South, Houston, Texas, zip code 77081. Please register for this event today. The time will be from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. This event is absolutely free to the public. Free vaccinations will be provided, and teens under age 18 must bring a parent or guardian and bring shop records. Free food will be provided. See you this Saturday.
Welcome to Tamar Talks, where music is constant and discovery is endless. Now your host, who's ready to tell it all, Ashley Tamar!
Hey, you guys, what's up? Good morning. It's your girl, Ashley Tamar, a.k.a. Tamar. I am so excited for this podcast. I'm bringing you back some interviews, some new music, and more. Mr. Mark Swinton, I don't even know where to start. I met Mr. Mark Swinton back in 1999. We attended the same place of worship in Los Angeles, and come to find out he was a playwright. Long story short, I did a lot of his plays, might I add, for free, but they were the most amazing plays. He's going to tell you how he started and how he got to be vice president of Tyler Perry Studios. Please enjoy this interview with my dear friend and my mentor, Mr. Mark E. Swinton.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, what's up, Matthew?
How are you?
Good.
Mark Swinton.
How you doing?
I can't complain. How are you?
I'm good. You know, just in the middle of a million things, but hey, you know, good. How about you?
I can't complain. I won't complain. So, just, Mark, all I know is you. I met you in L.A. Where were you born? Okay, so I did read that you were born in Carolina. Is that true?
Yeah, I was actually born in Charleston, South Carolina. And I don't know, around 2 years old, my dad and mom, who had actually grown up in Charleston, decided they wanted to go to the city, which so many people who grew up in the South did. So they moved to D.C. So the Washington, D.C. area, primarily Maryland, is where I, you know, grew up. So I don't remember living in Charleston, but of course, you know, we went back there every summer to see my grandparents. But yeah, I grew up in the Washington, D.C. area.
So is that, okay, so D.C. is known to really cultivate some amazing talent. You know, Howard University was where everyone was like, oh my gosh, I should go to Howard for film and TV and all that stuff. Do you feel like that area really helped find your passion in the arts while growing up?
I didn't find my passion in the arts in D.C. However, what I will say is that D.C. is a very sophisticated town, especially so for African Americans. Like in D.C., there are really a lot of really educated, refined, and polished, you know, African Americans. And I would say that they're very conservative, not politically, because it is as blue a state as it can be. So it's a, you know, politically, it's a Democratic area, the most you'll find anywhere. But everybody's conservative, you know, in the way they bring up their kids. And it's just I love D.C. and credit D.C. with the people that I was surrounded by and shaping my outlook on things. But as far as the arts go, it turns out that, you know, I think then this is something that probably a lot of people in education can attest to. I was at a private school. I went to all private schools, and the private school that I went to, the only arts there was a band. So I was in the band, but it wasn't a school that pushed the arts at all. It was one of the best high schools in the nation. I think it was ranked number 6 high school in the nation, and all of that. But if you were there and you did well, you were pushing the math and science classes. So in high school, I was on the honor roll and did well in school. So I got pushed into like AP calculus and AP this and AP that. And so I didn't get to discover the arts. You know, I was put into math and science classes, because if you are somewhat smart in the American education system, traditionally, you know, gifted means math and science, you know, and sometimes they don't value when someone's gifted in the arts or gifted in, you know, some people are in high school and they're gifted in mechanics, but, you know, the only people who get to wear the gifted tag are people who are good in math and science. But to that end, I ended up going to Syracuse and started out my freshman year as an engineering major. And I'm glad that I went to a school that had a lot of different majors. I'm glad I wasn't at a little liberal arts school, but I was at a big university, and it had every major imaginable, because on my dorm floor, I was exposed to all these people and all these different majors. And I would walk into one person's room, and they would be doing photography, and I'd say, oh, shoot, like, that's what you do as your major? Man, that's great. And then I'll go to somebody else's room, and they're building a model of a building, and they were an architecture major. And finally, one day, a friend of mine said, Mark, you excited about everybody else's major except for your own major. You're supposed to be happiest or most excited about what you're studying. And I was studying engineering, because that's what I had kind of, that was just a logical thing from AP calculus and AP physics. And I realized at that point, I hate calculus and physics. And so that's when I took a theater class, and I never left the theater after that.
Wow, Mark, I didn't even know that. Especially the engineering part. I mean, I do a lot with education and arts, and you said one key word, which is exposure, which kind of went into my second question. And that is, you're right, like most of the educational systems, even today, arts is being taken out of the schools, and education is looked more so in the STEM, you know, and that's considered gifted, which is great. But when you say you actually found your passion by being in a higher educational institution, and that's when you were able to see what other people were doing, and it kind of triggered what was inside of you that you didn't know. So I guess that moves into what prompted you to move to Los Angeles from the East Coast.
Well, I was graduating from Syracuse, and by that point, I had decided, you know, I had spent the last couple years either in a theater or in a TV studio. And so I knew that I wanted to do, I wanted to work in entertainment. And at that time, I wanted to be an actor. I was acting a lot in our college plays and independent films and all that. And so I was just like, I need to get to L.A. And truth be told, I got to L.A. because I was trying to figure out, you know, hey, how do I get to L.A.? How do I, you know, because honestly, I had student loans and I really, my parents are from D.C. and I really wasn't going to be able to afford to go to L.A. But I ended up, you know, talking to one of my acting teachers and I said, hey, I really want to, you know, go to L.A. And she said, hey, well, let me let you talk to an acting coach there. And I got on the phone with the acting coach and he said, okay, where are you? And I said, I'm in New York, but I'm, you know, I live in Maryland. And the guy said, you know what? I don't want to have a conversation with you. Hang up. When you care about your craft enough to move to LA, then call me. And then that really let me know, okay, the entertainment industry is in LA. Like, these people don't even want to talk to me unless I'm living there. And so it turns out that I'm walking by on campus and there is a Teach for America flyer. And it said, you know, be a teacher. And it said placing students upon graduation in D.C., Los Angeles, New York. And I was like, oh, shit, you know, this might be a way to get to Los Angeles. This is not the best thing because you're supposed to go to Teach for America because you wanted to help kids and all of that. But truth be told, that was going to be my ticket to Los Angeles. So I went to that little seminar and I applied for Teach for America. It was a made big time application process, but I got accepted into Teach for America, and I said, I want to be in Los Angeles, and I was like, this is perfect. They're going to place me in a school to teach. I'll have a job as a teacher, and that'll afford me a way to live in Los Angeles and, you know, start to work in entertainment. So I really came to L.A. through Teach for America, which is a domestic Peace Corps. They basically recruit at certain schools like an IBM would recruit, and they try to attract other gifted people into teaching, because sometimes teaching is something that people do as a last resort, and they were trying to change the outlook and attract, if you will, some of the best and brightest in the nation to go and consider teaching as an option. So they put you in a really troubled inner city school for 2 years. And then, you know, their hope is that this young burst of energy will affect change. And so, you know, I got placed in Compton and then worked in South Central and actually ended up teaching for like 8 years. But that's how I got to L.A. and I fell in love with it. And it just turned out to be the thing that allowed me to also do what I wanted to do, because obviously I wanted to go to L.A., so I chose L.A., and I chose that I wanted to teach theater. So I ended up in L.A. teaching theater, and yeah.
Wow. Well, but you're just not an educator. You're an amazing writer, which happened to, you know, allow you to be a theater educator, and you helped found the Stephen and Carrie O'Dell Theater Arts Academy in Los Angeles. And I remembered that, but I had to look it up again, and I was like, that's right, Mark did do that. And you really birthed a lot of young talent, a lot of talent that's on TV now, in film, me, myself, I mean, even starting in church. But how important is it for actors to create opportunities for our youth? Like, you did it, you know, technically in the beginning, but it's still like a common thread throughout your career at this point. So, and are there any current programs that you can think of that you could say, hey, I heard, you know, in Atlanta, there's this great, you know, arts department or whatever. Can you give any insight to that?
I will say this, that, you know, it's interesting because I did go into Teach for America at first as a way to get to L.A. Then as soon as I got into Teach for America and I learned about the plight of students growing up in inner city schools, because again, I went to all private schools. This was actually a new world for me when I got placed into these very troubled schools where all the social ills of society come to a head. And I learned very quickly that the arts were a saving grace. And I learned very quickly too that the arts had a transformative power that I had never seen before. Like, when I tell people the stories they don't believe them, but literally Crips and Bloods would, well, I was in a Crip school, so Crips and really troubled teens would come into my door and in 6 months would leave very different. They wanted to go to school. They did not want to be a gang member anymore. It would open up the world to them, and it changed. And because a lot of the times when people are acting out gang violence, whatever, they're acting out because of the personal pain that they have endured. And the arts are such an outlet for that, that it allows people to heal. You know, so it is as important for young people to be in the arts as anything. I know that I'm biased because I was an arts teacher, but I saw firsthand at a school where I think 30% of the kids that graduated went to college. Out of my arts program, 90% went to college. It had a very, very powerful effect. So, yeah, so that did become a very big part of what was important to me. And so at that school, we began to raise money, and we kind of became a performing arts magnet. And Stephen and Carrie O'Dell were the saints who gave money to our arts program. And so we ended up becoming an arts academy, and it was named after Stephen and Carrie O'Dell. And it was housed at Washington Prep High School in South Central Los Angeles. And we did a number of big, big productions where everybody in the city, Hollywood and everybody else, would come to see them. And we were sold out every night. And we did everything, like from Guys and Dolls to West Side Story to 42nd Street to The Wiz to you name it, we did it. And then, of course, I also started writing and directing a lot of original musicals and plays. And so, yeah, we did a lot there.
Well, Mark is being modest, you guys. Mark did write an original play that some famous people starred in, called Black Olive, with some notable actors, and got nominated for some NAACP Theater Awards, 9 nominations. But Mark is being a little modest because he's not telling y'all how he really just like went from back then they didn't want me, now I'm hot, not, they all up on me kind of life. Mark, okay, so you got to tell, I don't even know this. I know we just saw each other in the Kodak Theater in 2008. You had a pen and a pad in your hand, and I was like, Mark, what are you doing here? And you were like, I don't know. And the next thing you know, Mr. Perry is like, all right, so introducing your new director. So I wanted to see if you could share it with us.
There wasn't too long. After a while, I had been teaching for 8 years. And then I said, this is great, and I have done a lot of great things, but I actually came to L.A. to work in the industry. And although I'm doing some noble work, this is not what I believe I'm supposed to be doing. And I think that I've gotten comfortable, and I need to, you know, kind of shake this up a bit. So I began to put out the word, I'm going to get over my fear, because I didn't want to leave a teaching job. I had benefits. My friends who were working in the arts full time, they couldn't put gas in their car. They were always asking me for gas money. So for me, I was afraid to take that leap, but I finally did. And when I decided I wanted to leave, because of the work that I had done and the people I had been exposed to, within 2 days of me calling some Hollywood elites and saying, I actually called Ralph Farquhar, who was my mentor at the time, who is an incredible producer, who is responsible for everything from Married with Children to The Parkers to Moesha to Hollywood Husbands. At all those great shows, that's Ralph Farquhar. He was an incredible mentor to me. And I called him and said, Ralph, I'm ready to leave teaching. And within 2 days, Stan Lathan called me and said, Ralph said you're ready to leave teaching. We would like you to come work for Russell and I. We have a show called Deaf Poetry Jam, and we're going to turn it into a Broadway show, and we want you to come on as the assistant director. So within 2 days of me saying that I wanted to leave, I had a gig. I left teaching. And I went to work for Russell Simmons for a year as we workshopped and then, you know, converted the Deaf Poetry Jam TV show into a Broadway show, which won Tonys. It was directed by Stan Lathan, but I like to think that I had some help in there because I was his assistant director on that. From there, I came back to L.A. and began to gig. And life got hard, and I wondered how I was going to pay rent, but I was writing plays and directing them, and that's when you worked with me doing Black Olive. And that's when Cassie Davis worked with me doing Black Olive, and LaVann Davis worked with me. And these are actors who work with Tyler. And then I did my own, a show called You Don't Know Me. Demetria McKinney worked with me. So it was basically a perfect storm. I had been in L.A. struggling. You know, I left teaching, and so I was just, you know, doing plays at 99-seat theaters or wherever I could put one of my plays up. I was putting it up. And it turns out that just when I was really thinking like, hey, I got to leave all this alone because I can't pay my rent. I mean, it was at that moment where I was really at a low point, and I actually started reading The Secret. And I was like, I was in The Secret hard for 3 weeks. And I was like, I was so into that book. I was like, my life's about to change right now. And sure enough, Tyler Perry called, said, hey, I'm on set. And LaVann Davis is talking about you. Cassie Davis is talking about you. Demetria McKinney's talking about you. And I finally said, damn, who is this guy? I want to meet him. So he flew me to Atlanta, and we had like a 2-week job interview. And you're right. After that, he said, okay, I want to work with you. You know, we need somebody like you here. You're enormously talented. Tyler is one of the first people to really, really acknowledge and value my talent. And not the only one, because I said, like, Ralph Farquhar, Stan Lathan, Cedric the Entertainer, there are people who had definitely acknowledged, like, bro, you're talented, you know. But, you know, after them, you know, Tyler stepped forward and said, hey, I want you to come work with me. And he did. He a few weeks after I came to work with him, he told me to meet him at the Kodak Theater. And he said, go on the road with this play and make it good. And that was The Marriage Counselor. And that's where, and it just turns out I'd already worked with you, and you were there. And so it was just awesome. You know, I ended up going on the road with The Marriage Counselor, and Tyler and I continued to work together, and our working relationship got better and better and better. And so finally, now, you know, fast forward, I'm one of his vice presidents. I produce all the TV shows, movies, plays, films. Yeah. And so I've been here working with Tyler since 2008.
Mark, that story is so powerful. That is so powerful. I would love for them to understand, what does it mean to be a vice president and a producer of film? I mean, we hear that title all the time, but your day-to-day operations could be different from anyone else's. So can you give us a day in the life of what you do as a producer and a vice president of Tyler Perry Studios?
Wow, that's a big question. You know, my days are very long. Many of my weeks are 7-day weeks, and many of my weeks are 7-day weeks with 16-hour days each day, especially when we're in production. You know, we at Tyler Perry Studios, we move very quickly. Tyler produces films and TV shows faster than anyone I've seen. But I'm responsible for making sure that he has everything in place for him to do what he wants to do. Tyler writes and directs everything. So he is going to write a script and get it to me, and then the next thing he wants to do is come on set on whatever day we're going to shoot it and say action. So everything in between there is what I'm responsible for. And I don't know if that makes sense, but that's a lot. So that's going to be getting the script out, publishing it the way it's supposed to be published for all departments. That's going to be making sure that there's a cast, making sure that there's sets, costumes, light, sound, extras, cars, locations, schedules. It can go on and on and on. It's a lot. I have 4 assistants. I mean, not even the president has 4. The president of the United States has 1 assistant. So, I mean, it's so it's a lot. It's a lot.
Well, are you a coffee or tea person with all of this time that you got going on?
I drink a lot of coffee. lot of coffee all day, yeah.
Well, is there anything that you want to, like, declare over this generation when it comes to the arts and getting a higher education, last minute with Mark, that you would like to say?
There are 2 things that I would say, because so many people talk to me all the time. I get calls all the time from cousins and friends of cousins and friends of friends and all this kind of stuff. Everybody wants to work in the industry. The number one thing is that you have to work on your craft. Everybody wants to blow up. Everybody wants to sit in this chair, but you really do have to pay dues, and you really do have to learn your craft, and you will not get that job until you work on your craft and make yourself valuable enough for somebody to pay you to do what, you know, you need to make yourself so valuable that there aren't, there isn't anybody who can do what you do. Like you need to be, you know, really unique. So that starts with a craft. So many times people say, hey, how do I get into it? I always say, go to college and learn how to act, or go to college and learn how to write, or go to college, learn about photography. Or if it's not college, you have to learn the craft first. So whether it be college or Hollywood classes or mentors, and I did all of those. I did college and Hollywood classes and was sitting at Ralph Farquhar's dinner table for hours on end as he told me how awful the script I wrote was and why the hell did I do this and what was I thinking about this and that when I brought the script to him, and I thought it was excellent when I brought it to him. But those hours of learning the craft, that's number one, because there is a thing called competence, and either you're competent or you're not. And if you don't know your craft, you won't be able to stand. So you have to build that foundation first. And then the second thing I would say is just always work and act with integrity. I think that I got this call to come to work for Tyler because, as it turns out, there were three people together, all who had worked with me and all who had nothing but good to say about me. So I did not even know that when I was directing them years earlier and was just being very professional and doing what I said and being meticulous and conscientious about doing work with integrity, people think that I applied for this job. And people think I applied for the job with Russell Simmons. I've never applied for any of these jobs. My phone rings. And I think that if you work on your craft and you try to be conscientious and you do good work with honest intentions, that your phone will ring and you'll get jobs that you didn't even apply for.
Amen, Mark Swinton.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
I just want to congratulate you. Tamar, I've known you for a long time, and I have worked with so many different artists, and there are few people who are able to match your brilliance in music. What you do with your singing voice, when I talk about work on a craft, that's what you do, that's what you've done, and it's amazing. And then you're an actress as well. And then I know, because people would ask me, whenever you were in one of my plays, they would say, who is she? She's amazing. And I would say, yes, she studied. She went to USC for this. She studied her craft. So that's why she's amazing. So I hold you in high esteem. It's amazing that you're doing this. I think you're amazing. And there's nothing you could call and ask me that I'm not down for.
Mark Swinton, thank you so much for being a part of the Tamar Talks Radio. You could have done anything else in the world. You have 4,000 things to do throughout the day, and you chose to empower and inspire my listeners. You've inspired me as well. I hold you in the highest regard as well. You know that. You started from the bottom, now you're here, and I'm so happy for you. You're doing great work, and I can't wait to see more. Actually, I can't wait to audition and work with you again. So, anyways, that's my tidbit, my blurb. But you guys, it's your girl Ashley Tamar, aka Tamar. You're listening to Tamar Talks Radio. It is almost December. Can you believe it? I hope you guys have a wonderful holiday, a wonderful December. Keep praying. Keep staying like encouraged. Don't forget to stay encouraged. Surround yourself with good people, positive energy, encouraging people, and people that will cover you in prayer too, not just you doing all the prayer. Huh? Can I get an amen? Anyways, don't forget December 2nd, SWAC Championship, NRG Stadium. Get your tickets, swacfootball.com. Don't forget the Teen Health Summit on bullying and mental Wellness. It is this Saturday as well, December 2nd at HCC Southwest in Houston. Free registration, free attendance, and free food. I know you like some free food. So tell all the teenagers that you may know, it is happening December 2nd, 9 a.m. It starts. It's your girl, Ashley Tamar. I'm about to give you guys some more music. Have a wonderful week, you guys. And don't forget, the sky is not the limit. Your mind is. Love you.
Sometimes you just gotta do things on your own. You know what I mean? No more excuses. Just do it. Yeah. Make noise, kids. Live music. Guitar. Show.
First off, let me say my claim. I'm here to play no games. I'm on the grind, I ain't chasing lanes. Making moves, doing my own thing. I'm independent, I'm a classic girl. Swagging myself, bossing my world. I'm doing me, making history. Do you like what you see?
Just do it.
Just do it.
Put your mind to it.
Desire sometimes make you feel the same,
come on.
But forgive me, yes. It's how you win the game. I beg the truth, now I know the truth. And that is when you came and said I was beautiful, loved and blessed. I'm better than the day before, 'cause you made me confess that I am beautiful, loved and blessed. When you're free, you're really free indeed. All you gotta do is just plant the seed.
A constant battle to stay ahead of the game. Is anybody famous? Well, everybody wants fame. Always trying to break you down, thinking that it'll raise them up.
I just wanna be happy. Come take this bitter cup from me.
If I were to ever write down my life story, I could truly say, with all the fame and glory, I was just a piece of clay in need of the potter's hand. 'Cause when you whispered in my ear
the words I so now understand, oh, beautiful, loved and blessed. I'm better than the day before, 'cause you made me confess that I am beautiful, loved and blessed. When you're free, you're really free indeed. All you gotta do is just plant the seed.
Oh.
Everything you made, you said. Before the fall of man, you said,
that's good.
Every time I walk in faith,
that's good.
You let me see another day.
Oh.
Before the earth was made, you said, I will lead the way in your knowledge and understanding. Understanding is good. And when I wake up in the morning, all I hear in my hood is people saying that they're
beautiful,
beautiful.
Will you rescue me from the darkness? And now I just must confess,
I am beautiful, loved and blessed.
When you're free, you're free indeed. All you gotta do is just plant the seed.
Hey, 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 wake up, it's a new day. Hey, 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 wave your hands in the air and say, hey, 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 wake up, it's a new day. Hey, 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 wave your hands in the air.
Down.
Still I must confess that I am
beautiful.
When you wanna give up, don't, 'cause you know you've always got a friend.
Never mind, ever thine, ever our soul. Take my kind words to your heart. Every word I said from the start. I love you, I care for you. I will do, I dare to love you forever.
So in love, I'm so in love. Only in my dreams she comes to see me. Only in my dreams she belongs to me. Strange as it may seem, I look forward to sleeping so that I may see her again. Slowly we make love while the full moon smiles at us. I like the way your hips sway through the sweet summer breeze. High from above I hear angels sing to us. And she looks at me and says, I love you, Tony. Dreams to me are my reality. All the love I feel's gotta be real. Even though I'm in love with a fantasy, I can never change the way I feel. Today she held my hands as we strolled down the Milky Way shores. using our minds, we intertwined through another space and time. And then we took a swim through an ocean of red roses. Man, it feels so good, it's like I'm losing my mind.
Losing my mind.
Mind. I'm so in love. I'm so in love. You can't tell me it ain't real, man. She's my friend. And dreams to me are my reality. All the love I feel has gotta be real.
Gotta be real.
Even though I'm in love with a fantasy. Change the way I feel. I'm so in love. I'm so in love. I'm so in love. I'm so in love. You can't tell me I'm not real. No, you can't tell me it's not real. She's my friend. You can call me crazy, 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 but she's my friend. I can't wait to fall asleep and see her again. Even though I'm in love with a fantasy, I can never change the way I feel. I'm so in love.